We're really trusting God for great things in this year. It's been a good start to the year for us as a church. New things happening. Yeah, we've got that new life group starting out in the East on the Monday, the 25th of January. We're very excited about that. Had four or five families at Reg's home last Sunday for a lunch launch. And great to see people from Trenent, Dalkeith, Musselburgh, and a couple of other families too. So, yeah, we're very excited about that. In our life group, and I know in Gareth's as well, I mean, it's been a really good start to the year. And I've been really encouraged with just contributions and, yeah, just hunger in people's hearts for more of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you with that Alpha course as well, that is something that we're really trusting God to go big on this term. There will be invitations out for that from next Sunday to give out to friends. And I want to encourage you with the dynamic of prayer, care, and share. And praying for five people, a friend, a neighbor, work colleague, maybe a family member and one other. And starting to pray and trust God, caring moments of opportunities to care for them and opportunities to share the gospel with them. It's a simple thing, actually. It's not a difficult thing. It's something that we can all aspire to and do. And, God wants us just to be reaching out. And so, yeah, seven Sunday evenings from the 14th of February, 5 till 7 in the afternoon here in the evening. We've made it early evening for families to make it easier for families to, and also to invite families. So we will arrange something with the kids. So, yeah, let's be praying into that and participating in it. Let's turn to Psalm 23. That's where we are for the next couple of weeks. We started last Sunday, and the series that we are going through out of Psalm 23, we have entitled Walking with the Eternal God, Walking with Yahweh, Walking with the Living God. And last week we talked about being enlarged and seeing God as He is. And I'm just flicking through to get to my notes. Being enlarged and seeing God as He is, not shaping God according to or bringing God down to our size, but us seeing the fullness and the bigness, yeah, of who God is. And so we're going to go back to Psalm 23 just now. I'm going to grab my wife's Amplified Bible and read from that shortly. Just want to read it out of the Amplified today. But all growth that we're looking for this year in every area of our lives comes actually from growing in our vision of God, seeing God for who He is, seeing the bigness of who He is, seeing the wonder of who He is, allowing Him to expand our appreciation and our understanding of who He is. We often talk at the beginning of years about making resolutions, you know, but actually, if you want your resolutions to stick, there needs to be an inward revolution. There needs to be a decision to actually reorientate our lives around the bigness of who God is. Yahweh, the eternal God at the center. When we make that decision, when we seek to work that into our lives, then it makes it a lot easier for us to resolve to sort other areas out and bring them into line with Him. And He enables us to fulfill those resolutions because He's the power at the center. He's the one we're placing at the center. And so it's a God-centered, transforming experience from the inside out. And so Psalm 23 paints a wonderful portrait of who Yahweh, the Lord God, is. And it gives us a number of names of who God is. And so let's read Psalm 23 out of the Amplified Bible. And we're going to dip back into verse 3 particularly today. The Lord is my shepherd. To feed, to guide, and to shield me, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself, my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his namesake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, or only, goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your incredible person, your incredible being, your unending love, your desire to fellowship with human beings and humanity and walk in covenant relationship with us. God, you are amazing. And we thank you for your anointing here today, right now. That as the shepherd that you are, I pray, and as Yahweh that you are, the living God that you are, that even as we've heard in the worship today, that you would awaken, that you would quicken, that you would heal, that you would restore, that you would sharpen, that you would bring alignments in our lives today, that we may walk with you, fellowship with you, greater intimacy, greater integrity, greater impact, greater influence, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I trust that's our desire this morning, because that's God's desire for us, that he who is the creator of all, if you go right back, it's always a good verse to read at the beginning of a new year. In the beginning, God. Yeah. He had no beginning. He was the origin, the self-existent, the eternal. And his name is Yahweh. That's what we said last week. That was the first of the names that we looked at. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. And so we looked at what that means, that he was the creator, stooped down amongst dirty, smelly sheep. That's what shepherds do. They get into the mud in the snow and the rain or the sunshine, and they get amongst the sheep. Why? Because they care for the sheep. And God came down as a shepherd. And this psalm is written by a shepherd, David, who became a king. And it's written about an eternal king, Yahweh, who became a shepherd, Jesus. And so the Lord is my shepherd. And we looked at what that means. And then we looked at the Lord is my provider, Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. I shall lack nothing. Because he's my shepherd and cares for me, he looks out for me. David knew instinctively, and we should know instinctively even today, that sheep do not provide for themselves. Yeah. And the Lord, when he is your and my shepherd, he promises, as we walk with him, as we talk with him, as we align our lives to him, he will take care of every single need that we have, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, mentally, materially. Our need for significance, our need for security, our need for acceptance, is all found in Yahweh. God has made us for relationship. And so this psalm is all about walking with Him. And He gives us these indicators through the psalm of His names, the names of God, what we would call the compound names of God, what Yahweh is like, what God is like. And so He's our shepherd, He's our provider, and He's our peace, Yahweh Shalom. He leads me beside still waters. So those are the three that we covered last week. And I want to cover two more this morning out of verse 3. Verse 3 says, He restores my soul, and He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So number 4, the Lord is my physician. And the compound name that we read in Scripture is Yahweh Rophe, the Lord who is our healer. He is the one who refreshes and restores my soul. He's the soul expert. Yeah, he's the S-O-L-E expert. He's the soul eternal expert, but he's the S-O-U-L expert too. Yeah? And so if we want to live to the full in our souls, we need to come to the expert. We need to return to Him. We need to return. He is the Lord who restores our souls. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who is our healer. And the first time that this is mentioned, this name is in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And we're just going to read this verse together. But this is just after the Israelites have come out of Egypt. They've been delivered. They've been saved. It's the greatest escape the world has ever seen or known. That they've come out of slavery, they've come out of bondage under Pharaoh's hand. God has led them out and He's brought them to a sea. He's opened up the sea and they've walked through. It's an incredible thing. And then they come to a place, 3 days' journey in the wilderness later. They've been wandering for 3 days, and this is what's happened. They haven't drunk water for 3 days. Now you and I know physically, if you don't drink water for 3 days, it's quite serious. Yeah? And the longer that goes on, it becomes more and more serious. And they are parched. They are desperate. And they see water. And they think, yes, this is it. And so they, I don't know whether they dived into the water. The Bible doesn't say that. But 3 days, no water. They see water and they're looking for water. Let's get some water. And they cup their hands, you know, like, I mean, I've done this many times in rivers in Scotland, you know, when it's really hot. Yeah, and we've been climbing a mountain or we've been, you know, out for a hike and, you know, you put your hand into the water, it's clean, it's fresh, it's coming straight from those mountains. So they jumped or they dived or they went for this water and they went, oh man, it's bitter. Now, the Bible just says it was bitter, but it must have been, you've not had water for 3 days. To refuse to drink that water, it must have been foul. Yeah? You're desperate. You want water. They would not drink that water. It was, the Bible said it was bitter. And they called the name after its taste, Mara, which means bitter. It was foul. It was stinky. I don't know whether it was stagnant water, whatever it was. And they complain. They forget now that they've just been delivered from bondage, that they've just seen the Red Sea open. They forget that what Yahweh has done and they complain again. So God, in His grace and His mercy, says to Moses, get that tree over there, or the branch, and throw it into the water. He throws it into the water and suddenly that foul, smelly, stinky water becomes sweet. And beautiful, like the rivers of Scotland. Amen. Probably a lot better. God does things better. And He turns the bitter to better, and they go on to Elim, where there's 12 wells and 70 palm trees, and they camp there.
God's testing their hearts. But this is what he says to them. Out of the result of that experience, he says, if you diligently heed the voice of Yahweh your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. For I am Yahweh, your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. You see, what had they seen happen with that great escape? They'd seen God destroy other gods, the Egyptian gods. Systematically, he destroyed 10 gods over a period of time because Pharaoh's heart was hardened and would not let his people go. So they'd seen him destroy. They'd seen him even kill idols. The ultimate one was the firstborn, which the Egyptians worshipped like gods. They'd seen God work like that. But now God is saying, you need to know that I don't just destroy your enemies. I am your healer. I am the one who makes you whole. I don't just rescue you out. I want you to be whole. The purpose of the rescue was that you would worship me and walk with me and walk in fellowship with me and experience me as your wholeness. I am Yahweh, your healer. It's an incredible thing, isn't it? And friends, you know, there are certain, there are debates even in churches about, does God still heal today? There are people who think that healing ceased after the apostolic age. And they ask, does God still heal today? It's the wrong question. It's the wrong question. The question is this, has God changed? You know, if you look through books on systematic theology, you see all sorts of God's covenant names. You don't see this one appearing very high on the list. Yahweh, our healer. But here's the question. Has God changed? I certainly hope not. And I'm not being funny with that. Because our entire faith rests on the unchanging nature of who God is. He says many times, I am the Lord, I do not change. He cannot change, he's eternal. He is not affected by mood, by anything. He is eternal, unchanging. And he is Yahweh, your healer. You see, healing like provision and peace is not something that God does. It's something that he is. It's part of his character. It's very important that we understand that. It's who he is, friends. Provision is who he is. He doesn't just provide. That's why being precedes doing. That's why being with him, we start to understand who he is. He is my provision. He's my peace. He's my healing. You see, the GP down the road, and I've got a lot of respect for every general practitioner. My wife's a physiotherapist, as you know. And we've got a number of nurses in the church here. And God has gifted them and skilled them to help people with their health, to bring them back to health. But that is largely concerned with bodily health. Yeah? With physical health. There is only one who is an expert when it comes to the soul. And that is Yahweh. And David says, he is the one who restores my soul. Now that word Jehovah Rapha, Rapha means to mend. Lovely word this, Hebrew word, it's a picture word. It means to mend together by stitching. Now I'm not a stitcher, my wife is. She's a knitter and loves sewing. But it's a great picture word that, can I encourage you with this morning? That Yahweh wants to stitch us up in every area. And as we
walk with him and, if you like, align our lives to him, diligently hear his voice and walk in his ways, there's an embroidering of our lives with his life. There's a stitching. And in our souls. To mend together by stitching, to cure, to repair, to make thoroughly whole. And when David says he restores my soul, that word restores mean to recover, to retrieve, to turn back, to relieve, to renew, to refresh. And what does he mean by my soul? When the Bible talks about the soul. Well, there's two things there, but let Scripture interpret Scripture. Psalm 103 in verse 1, what that wonderful psalm. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." So my soul is all that is within me. Yeah? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." So the soul that God refreshes, restores, renews, repairs, puts together, is everything that is in us. It's the very life, our very being, he restores. But here's the thing. Even as the Lord's sheep, we can drift. In fact, that's what sheep do often. They drift. We can become unfocused. We can stray. We can get weighed down. And the psalmist says in Psalm 42, we can become cast down. Our souls can become cast down. Our minds, our emotions, can become cast down. And so the psalmist says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? O my God, my soul is cast down within me." And the interesting thing is that there is an exact parallel in sheep farming to that phrase. It's an old English term where sheep get cast, or they get cast down. And what it means is that they end up rolling onto their back with their legs sticking up. It's a bit of a funny picture. And they can't right themselves. They can't get back up on their feet. And shepherds are very familiar with this in different parts of the world, that if you've got a large flock, one of the first signs that you've got to cast down sheep is you see buzzards in the air starting to circle because they see a sheep in distress. And a shepherd's got to keep watch on his flock all the time. Because what causes a sheep to be cast down in the natural? Three things. They're too fat, and they easily topple over, get unstable, they can't right themselves, etc. Can't flip over again. Secondly, they're too woolly. They get debris or branches or muck or burrs clogged up in their wool, and so that adds to the weight. Or thirdly, they just like the soft ground, those soft undulations, that comfy spot. So they just lie down in there and whoop, before they know it, they're flipped over. Three things: too fat, too woolly, too comfortable, too soft. And those three things have a direct parallel to our mind, our emotions, and our will, our soul. They relate to feeding our minds on a good diet, keeping our emotions healthy and not clogged up with other stuff, not woolly, and having a strong will to go through where the Good Shepherd is leading us, not getting caught up in our own soft, self-centered, comfortable places. Three things: the mind, the emotions, and the will. And so those three things are coming up now. We can just look at what is the antidote for a cast-down soul or sheep. Firstly, in terms of the mind, and friends, this is important for us as we embark on this new year. It's important for us as we look at Yahweh, our God. Because everything actually in our lives, our behavior, what we do, our relationships, our health, all begins in our minds. That's where it starts. Your thought life and my thought life determines the way I behave, the way I relate to others, the influence I have on others for good or for bad. And yeah, it's just been wonderful at the beginning of this year to hear testimonies in small groups of transformation that are happening in parents' lives and children's lives as a result of a simple decision to open God's word on a regular basis. We heard it this week. And significant transformation. Attitudes, relationships, prayer, praying for others in the business arena, praying for others in the school playground. Yeah, those are significant transformations. And it's come through a change of mind, spending time in God's word. See, we're all familiar, I think, with that text in Romans 12 where it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You see, friends, our minds are never in neutral. Yeah, you may think sometimes they are. I know my wife thinks occasionally that I'm in my nothing box. You know, like the guy fishing. But the reality is that it is that our minds are thinking about things most of the time. The challenge for us is, what are they thinking about? Because there's a battle for our minds 24/7. That's where the battle rages. The guy who's gone off and left his wife and committed adultery with another woman, the battle wasn't first of all a emotional battle or a physical battle. The battle started up here in the mind. How can a young man or an old man, for that matter, keep his way pure, the psalmist says, David says, by keeping it according to his word, by meditating on his word, by thinking on his word. You see, every belief in the mind will result in a behavior in your walk. You won't be cast down easily if you are meditating on the principles, the patterns, the promises of Yahweh and his word. Because he has raised this book, it says in Psalm 138, in verse 2 and 3, it says, you have raised this word higher than your name. In the New Living Translation, it says, your name, your word is backed by the honor of your name. Your word is backed by the honor of your name. What are we thinking on? As a man thinks, so he is. And scientists tell us that every thought affects an emotion in our being. And in fact, they're saying now that every thought affects an emotion in our being and affects even cells in our bodies. Dr. Caroline Leaf, who's a brain expert and has written books on this. And it just confirms what the Bible says, that a mind that's set on the truth, on life, produces peace. A mind that's set on the Spirit produces life and peace. Isaiah 26 and verses 3 and 4 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. And so I'm dwelling on that, the mind, because that's where the battle is. What are you filling your mind with? And then there's the emotions. How do we stop our emotions from becoming woolly or muddy or weighed down with the wrong stuff? And the primary way we do that is in our relationships, by being quick to forgive. Because offense will come in. You can be sure of that. There will be a time where we all have to forgive. And the ability to forgive one another enables us to live free from accumulated dirt in our lives, accumulated baggage in our lives. Much of the time when people are emotionally downcast, there's a root of unforgiveness in that. And Jesus gives us a practice in his word. He says, don't let the dirt of offense accumulate. Be restored. Quickly forgive. You know the old story, if you don't deal quickly with that stuff, it's like, you know, cockroaches under the carpet. You know, if you've got one and you don't deal with one, soon it becomes two. And if you don't deal with that, soon it's like, instead of just a little blip, it's like a mountain of cockroaches. Offense just doesn't go away. We have to deal with it. And then there's the will. How do we keep our will healthy? How do we walk resolute lives? How do we make good choices? And this has to do with submission, I believe. It's a submission to God. It's a submitting of our will to his. This is how Jesus lived. This is how the Lord, our shepherd, lived. He fed on God's word as Son of Man. He fellowshiped with the Father on a daily basis. And when the rubber hit the road, both as a boy, 12-year-old boy, he chose to go and submit himself to Mary and Joseph. Luke 2, verses 51 and 52. He submitted himself to his parents. And the result of that submission was, even though they didn't fully know who he was, Jesus knew at that stage of his development of life, he had to submit his will, his ways, his future under them and under God, of course. And the result of that was that he increased. That's what submission does. He increased. And that word increase, you know what that word increase means? It's the Greek word prokopto. It's like an army when it clears away stuff because it's advancing and taking ground. You know, when an army's come through and there's all sorts of debris on the road, it clears away stuff. That word, it says, where Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. It's the word prokopto. It means stuff was cleared away and he increased. Why? Because he submitted to Mary and Joseph in that phase of his life. And he grew. And then, of course, as he goes to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he submits his will to Father's will. Now, if there was an opportunity for his soul to become cast down, it was in that moment. And there was much grief. There was much pain. There was much agony as he literally sweat drops of blood. But he came to the point where he submitted his will to Father's will. This is how he lived. Just turn with me, please, to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. What is our response today in terms of allowing him to restore our mind, our emotions, our will, where we may have been cast down? 1 Peter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 24. Verse 23 describes how Jesus committed himself to the Father. Didn't react, didn't revile in return when he suffered and when he was threatened. Verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Yahweh, our healer. For you are like sheep, there we go, going astray, straying, getting cast down, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This morning, there's an invitation from the great shepherd, Yahweh, to return, to come back, to turn around. That word return literally means, it's a sharp twist. It means to repent, to turn around. See, repentance is it's saying, I want to change my mind about a few things in my life. I want to turn to him. I want to walk with him. I want to worship him. I want to submit to him. See, as we establish the practice of feeding, reading, meditating on God's word, worshiping him, submitting to him, yeah, our whole being, our whole character is lifted up. J.I. Packer says this: we are familiar with the thought that our bodies are like machines, needing the right food, the right rest, the right exercise, if they are to run efficiently. If they're filled up with the wrong fuel, too much alcohol, drugs, poison, they lose their power to function healthily, and eventually they will seize up entirely in physical death. However, we are slower to grasp that the same is true for our souls. As rational persons, we were made to bear God's moral image. That is, our souls were made to run on the practice of worship, law-keeping, truthfulness, discipline, self-control, service to God and service to our fellow men, honoring God and honoring our fellow men. If we abandon these practices, not only do we incur guilt from God, before God, we also progressively destroy our souls. Conscience deteriorates. The sense of shame dries up. Your capacity for truthfulness, loyalty, and honesty is eaten away. Your character disintegrates. You not only become desperately miserable, i.e. cast down, you are steadily being dehumanized. This is one aspect of spiritual death. Strong statements, isn't it? But friend, that's highlight. We need to take care of our soul. We need to come back to him and return to him again and again and again. I'm looking at the time now. I was going to go on to the Lord our righteousness, or Pathfinder. Let me begin with this. Just if you're going to put it up please, Zare. The Lord is not only my physician. Number five, he is my Pathfinder. The restorer of your soul is the one who leads you in paths of righteousness. He's our pathfinder. And here's the thing. When it says he leads me in the paths of righteousness, that word lead means to drive, to impel, to push along. Because sheep don't not naturally go along the right paths. We don't naturally pursue paths of righteousness in ourselves. But he wants to lead us in those ways. And so the compound word here, Yahweh Tzedek or Yahweh Tzidkenu, means the Lord who is our righteousness. And that comes up, that scripture is found in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. And I'm just going to read it to you. The Lord who is our righteousness. And the background here, let me read the scripture and I'll give you the background. Verse 4 says, I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. See, the incredible thing about that scripture is this. The context, Jeremiah has been speaking into the nation there and saying, everything's gone corrupt from the leaders down. They've got an old saying in Greek, if about fish, if the head stinks, the whole fish stinks. And it's appropriate for, you know, it's true in life. If there's a problem with leadership, there'll be a problem with the whole organization. If there's a problem with leadership, there'll be a problem with the family. If there's a problem with leadership, there'll be a problem with the company. If there's a problem with leadership, there'll be a problem in the community. Yeah? If there's a problem in government, there'll be a problem in the nation. And that's been the problem in Israel. The prophets have been have no longer righteous. They're prophesying falsely, saying peace, peace when there is no peace, not bringing the word of the Lord. The royal house in the nation is corrupt. And God says through Jeremiah, but there's a new day coming. There's a righteous king coming. He will be righteous. He will rule with justice. But here's the amazing thing. He doesn't say, this is his name, the Lord, the one who is righteous, which he is. But he says this. He says, this is his name. He says, the Lord, your righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. And friends, that is the incredible thing here. So that Yahweh, who is our shepherd, who came to this earth as the perfectly righteous, holy one in Jesus, who knew no sin, who never had to apologize for any thought that was wrong, had no regrets for any decisions that he made that were wrong, because he never made any wrong decisions. Never had to say sorry to anybody for hurting them, because he never hurt anybody. Never offended people in that sense, maliciously. No sin. The one who is thoroughly righteous has become our righteousness. That the righteousness that any person has in their relationship with God is solely because of him. In him, of him, to him, and through him. And Jesus says, I want to, you receive that righteousness when you allow me to, when you return to me and allow me to transform your soul and your spirit. You become a new being in relationship, a new creation. But he's saying, from there I want to take you and lead you in the paths that are right for my namesake, for my glory. And so very quickly, as I finish off this morning, four things. How do we stay on the right paths? We stay on the right paths by staying in step with four things. Number one, his word. Staying in step with his word. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God helps us to take the next step, and it gives us light for our future. Shows us the bigger picture and shows us where to put our feet tomorrow. Shows us decisions that we need to make related to our future. Shows us decisions that we need to make related to tomorrow.
and sometimes today. That's the power of the Word of God. Staying in step with His Word. Embracing His Word brings light to our path. Secondly, we stay on the right path by staying in step with His Spirit. Galatians 5:25 in the NIV. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's a whole preach in itself, isn't it? In terms of walking with the Holy Spirit. You know, when you get up in the morning saying, having an awareness that He is with you. From when you open your eyes, He's with you. He's within you. He's walking with you. And including Him right from the get-go in your day. Opening up His Word, getting your cup of tea or cup of coffee, sitting in the seat and just saying, Father, I thank You for Your presence. Holy Spirit, I thank You for Your presence. Lead me today. I want to walk with You today. I want to be aware of Your presence today. And aware that You may be leading me to someone today. Or to do something today. That's the exciting thing about walking with God. We don't know what He's got for us in that day, but we do know He's walking with us. Reg shared a testimony on Thursday night. At his workplace, he was minding his own business one day, not fairly recently. He was sitting at his desk and he got up to go to see his boss, one of the directors. Who we've been praying for regularly in our group, by the way, and in a small group. And as he got up, another person passed by, I think, if I get the story right, another guy, I won't give names, who was due to finish working in a particular area of the company. And as he got up, he felt God dropped into his spirit, speak to your boss about Trevor, okay, Trevor Martindale, who's here in the church, and ask him if he could take over that role, because Trevor was looking for work. Now, what Reg said was, by the time he'd gone up and spoken to his boss about that, he'd forgotten what was the original thing that he was going to speak to his boss about. But he just sensed something was dropped in. At that moment, he could have chosen to ignore it, but he didn't. So he spoke to his boss. A couple of days later, Trevor sent in his CV. A couple of days later, he got an interview. He starts work on Monday. You see, we don't know the chain of events that can happen as we walk with the Holy Spirit. The men's time yesterday, when we had breakfast together at Morrison's, Paul was telling us a story, a similar kind of story as well, that happened to him this week. That he had a sense that he should pick somebody up on his way into work, but he kind of ignored it. And he went into work. He's just about to open the door at his work, and he gets a phone call from this person saying, I missed the bus this morning. I'll be late coming in. Paul says to, don't worry, I'll come and pick you up. And then when he made his coffee later, he said, okay, got the message, should have listened. You see, what's happening there is that the Holy Spirit is encouraging us to walk with Him. And it's a real challenge, isn't it? Are we focusing on the relationship with Him, or are we just focusing on the task for the day? You see, the task's important, but He wants us to include Him in what we're going to do in the day, and suddenly a whole lot of other things can open up for us. But are we going to walk in step with Him? Because He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of righteousness.
when stuff comes on the telly and it's not good stuff, or you're flicking through the channels, do you when the bad stuff that comes up, do you stay on the channel, or is there such an awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit that you switch it off immediately? Yeah? Walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Number three, walking in step with His people. With His people, the shepherd's people. And I'm walking in step now with the kids' ministry. That's just so just His people. Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. Listen to this from the Message Bible. You see, we heard a story this week. I'll tell you about it just now. Colossians 3. Says this, let the peace of Christ, the presence of Christ, keep you in tune. Yahweh Shalom, presence of the Holy Spirit, keep you in tune with each other. In step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Love that. Give it plenty of room in your lives. It's talking to a community here. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. I love that passage. You see, friends, that's community. The reason that God made man was not only to belong to Him, but was to belong to one another. No single human being is designed to live in isolation. Eddie and Trina, we were out visiting them in Blair Gowrie this week, and he told us this story. A guy whose name was Tony, who led a church, and another guy, I'll just call him Bill, who was like his right-hand man in this church. He was involved in business, and he was a go-getter. He was going strong for God. Then he got offered a job in a different part of the country. And so Bill comes to Tony and says, look, I've been offered this job. It looks like a good job, good prospects. What do you think? So Tony said, well, I'll pray about it. So they come together again. Tony says, I prayed about it, and I don't have peace about it. I don't think it's the right thing for you. He said, oh, well, I'm going to go for an interview next week, and we'll just see how things unfold. He goes for an interview, gets offered the job, comes back to Tony and says, look, I've been offered the job. We're going. He said, okay, no problem. He goes. They find a really nice house, gets into the job, loves the, comes back a couple of weeks later, tell Tony how well it's going. Tony says, so what about church? I said, oh, we'll sort that out later. So, okay, no problem. So a couple of months later, he bumps into him again and says, how's it going? Oh, it's going really well, family's well, job's well, lovely place. How's church going? Oh, no, I'll sort that out later. The days go by, the weeks go by, the months go by, the years go by. Everything looks rosy on the outside. Family's doing well, healthy, strong children, business is doing well, firing. But the soul is doing this. The soul is shriveling up on the inside. And the sheep has drifted way off the right path. Because they've chosen not to stay in step with God's people, with the shepherd's people. I remember hearing this story years ago in a sheep ranch in Zimbabwe. Big sheep ranch in Zimbabwe. A guy was out on a... There were so many sheep, he had to drive to keep track of them. And a visitor came, and the guy was just showing around this huge plot of ground, you know, acres of hectares of property, and there was one sheep way on its own. And so the visitor said, what's wrong with that one? What's happening with that sheep? He said, no, it's sick. How do you know that? There's thousands of sheep. How can you tell me that that's sheep sick? No, it's just, it's easy. It's on its own. We were up north in Scotland during over Christmas time a few years ago. And we were just out for a walk. It was a snowy day like this. And Lynn and I were walking, and there was a flock of sheep, and there was one just way on its side here. And I said to Lynn, do you remember that story about Zimbabwe? I said, there must be something wrong with that sheep. It's on its own. As we walked back, sure enough, it was walking with a limp. It was sick. To stay on the paths of righteousness, stay in step with his people. Don't become a tumbleweed Christian, tumbling from one church to the next. Yeah, just like that. Follow, stay in step with his people. And finally, number four, stay in step with his leaders. Stay in step with godly people. Those who are following Jesus, follow them. Get perspective from godly leaders. Just before that whole thing happened with Trevor's job, he got offered another job. Offered an opportunity to go for another interview. He and Dan prayed, and they didn't have peace about it. But he phoned me and asked me for my perspective. I said, I think you've made the right decision. Wisdom in that. It's getting perspective. And then a week later, this other thing just opens up. Boom. Final scripture. If you could just put this Psalm 77, 19 and 20 up, please. Sorry, thank you. And then I'll just read it. Have a look at this one. This is Yahweh for us. The Lord, our pathfinder, our righteousness. Your road led through the sea. God's roads and God's path go very different to our paths. They're unnatural. They require faith. Your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. He'll take you to places that you'd never dreamed of. He'll take you through obstacles. You thought, how on earth am I going to get through this one? Yahweh's got a way through. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. Stay in step with Yahweh. Stay in step with his word. Stay in tune, in touch with his spirit. Stay in step with his people. And stay in step with godly role models, godly leaders who are passionately following Jesus. And we will walk with souls that are strong, and we will walk and advance the kingdom. Let's stand together, shall we? I was going to ask Roy, but I'll ask Reg if he's going to come and pray for us as we close off today. Thanks, Reg.
Father, we come before you. And our Father, as your word brings life, my Father, we pray for life in everyone here today. My Father, that these words will ring true for every one of us. My Father, for those that may have stumbled, my Father, we ask that you just bring them and draw them back in. My Father, as we go into a new week, we ask that you drop something into our spirit to help those that have stumbled, to help those that their lives have been turned upside down, to help those that need a touch from you, your healing hand through us as instruments. And my Father, and as we go out, We ask for your presence to be with us in everything we do. Every moment of our lives, we ask for your presence. And my Father, we just want to thank you for this and trust you. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, living God. Thank you, Father. Amen.